story. I'm just, I guess it's conceptual or analytical, whatever you want to call it. This is Game Theory 27 about China and Russia. And, well, we're back at the Second World War. And the Americans had built big factories producing weapons for the war and this and that. And now they use them to produce things to sell to the rest of the world that needed it, Europe especially. Now, this is part of this game theory thing, that at this stage there are hard-working people and they're really ready to work hard. And this is the upwards going spiral, or whatever you want to call it, or path for an empire or any kind of civilization or country, you know, it's growing. And then it's of course obvious that when you have a whole crew of people working very hard, that there will be successes. And then I want to put these men in there, because same thing then happened in Europe. They started working very hard to build things up again. And then we had my father, who was, yes, working, you know, they were working hard. But I would say his father, you know, born somewhere mid late 19th century, I mean, they were hard workers. And I saw it to my mother. I mean, but a completely different level of strength than we see now. And I think this is significant, that we, the kids that were born, you know, the baby boomers, that were born in the 50s or so, especially, I guess, we were spoiled. I mean, I didn't even help washing the pots in the kitchen when I was a kid, my mother, and sorry, Mom, because we were just enjoying and eating sweets and playing around and listening to music and watching TV and reading comics. Because our parents had told us and had tried to build all this with their hard work so that their kids wouldn't have to struggle it the way they had to and their parents. We are building goodness, you know, we're building a good society. This is progress. And this is why I say this game theory, it hits a point there, because that's where things are starting to go downhill. And I would say even that the balance, where it's not just going up, more and more and more, and that's what Dharma means. But anyway, this is interesting. So I'm just going to try to understand what really happened there. So take it step by step. So they made it, the US made a deal with the Europeans that they will agree to buy manufactured goods from America. But the Europeans and the Japanese and so on, they were broke after the war. They had spent all their resources. Their men had died, and instead of working, taking care of their families and making money, they were out there dying, and all the money, all the work was being used to make weapons, and I don't know, but something like that. So they said, we don't have any money to buy your products. And then the Americans said, we'll lend you the money. So there you are, and you need goods. I have them. We are rich. We make dollars and lend them to you. So you can use them to buy our products. And then he says here, then John, that the US dollar is basically a contract. Now, what does that mean? A contract means, so contract means that I have something you want, you have something I want, whether services or resources, products, whatever, and we have a paper where it's written that I give you so and so much of mine and you give you so and so much of yours. So yeah, in a way you can say that the money that was printed then, the green bills there, they represented that contract, because here is $1,000, I give that to you. It's an agreement we have. That you can get so much of something from me. In other words, you can take that bill, give it to me, and I give you a piece of gold or something. So it means that, yes, it's a contract. You give me, I give you. Same back, it's all fair and square. So they have dollars, the US, and they want to lend it out to the others. And these are little green pieces of paper. So how much are they worth? They've got to be worth something. So they peg them to the gold standard. Peg them to the gold. Meaning that this green piece of paper represents a piece of gold in our Fort Knox vault, super safe, that not even Goldfinger could steal. So yeah, here we got a dollar, this green paper, from this great country over there who have lent it to us so that we can use them to buy things from them. And look how many nice things we're getting from them. TV sets, radio, rock and roll. I mean, whatever, cars, of course, motorcycles, lots of good nifty things, refrigerators. I don't know what was invented there, but yeah, things started coming, right? So yeah, everything looks pretty good, doesn't it? Now, what is included here, of course, is that Europe and this, the whole world basically, are getting indebted towards America, right? Because they are borrowing dollars. So what's going to happen with that? Now, I understand it says that the Americans can at any time force the Japanese and Europeans to give their gold in exchange for US dollars. Why can they force them? Man, now this Gemini is saying things here. That what happened was, let's check it out, but I tend to believe it. After Second World War, Europe, Japan, and so on, I mean, most of the world was broke, and they desperately needed food, grains, technology, all kinds of things to build up their countries again. And the USA was practically unhurt from that war. They just came in at the end. And well, I mean, they took upon themselves the honor of winning the Second World War. And while it was really the Russians that finished off the Nazi army. So, here we are, and so how are you going to buy things from us? Well, you can use US dollars, but you don't have any US dollars. But the US dollar is pegged to gold, so you can pay us with gold. So these countries, they had to empty out all their gold reserves and pay the USA with them, ship their gold over, and, says this Gemini, by the late 1940s, the U.S. government held an astonishing 70% of all the world's central bank gold. That is something. So they practically took all the gold. So the Fort Knox and all that, which I thought was cool to hear about, all the gold in the world almost is there in Fort Knox. It was practically a fact. And yes, that's the picture we had of America when we were kids in the 60s. It's the center of the world. The good ones. It's a bright America over there. Sun is always shining. Cool movies come from there. The cowboys there who won over the evil Indians, primitive Indians. Yeah. And they have all the gold almost, and it's very safe. Yeah, they're protecting it very well. Good. The guy with the cowboy hats. We trust them, right? That's how we kids saw it then, which I would say was, of course, just projected from our parents. Otherwise, what did we know? So we picked up that simplistic, of course, image of America and of the world, which probably was pretty much what our parents had as well. So, yeah. And then when they can't pay with gold anymore, they take loans of US dollars, which means that, well, since that US dollar is pegged to gold, they're loaning gold that then they can use to pay to buy things from America with. So in other words, that paper, that dollar, now represents a piece of gold that they should have had, but they didn't. So they now owe that gold to America. Yeah, I think that kind of makes sense. Anyway, this is the Bretton Woods system, 1944. So in this way, America facilitated global trade, this is how he puts it, in order to maintain the manufacturing power